Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A little bit of context for our gospel lesson today. If you were a Hebrew, a boy or a girl, you would have been taught by your parents the faith. You would have known very intently what God had said. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, we get a recap of the Ten Commandments. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, these words are written. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. That is called the great Shema. This is ingrained in every Hebrew boy and girl because their parents would have instructed, especially their fathers. The Lord, Yahweh, the great I Am, he is the only God. He is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you shall love him with every ounce of your being. Moses continues, with these words, which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is the first and greatest commandment every Hebrew boy and girl would have known because their parents would have taught them? These words were so much a part of them. It was ingrained in the front of their brain, in the back of their brain. They were supposed to be talked about when they sat down, when they got up, when they laid down, when they walked outside. It was to be everywhere. Because God's word is to be in our very hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength, with every ounce of your being. Jesus knew these words, not only because he is God, but because his mother loved him, because Joseph, his guardian, loved him and also would have taught him these words as well. The lawyers knew this. The Pharisees knew this. The Sadducees knew this. In the greater context of our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is simply fed up. He is done with them. Time and time again, they try to trick him. They test him. They try to trap him. And this chapter is exactly in line with that. Right before our text, the Pharisees come before him, and they try to trap him about how to pay taxes. Should you pay them? Jesus answers them and they are quiet. So the Sadducees take a turn. The Sadducees are so liberal that they don't even believe in a resurrection. They deny the words of Job that I know that my Redeemer lives. They deny that. And so they put him to the test as well. And Jesus silences them. So the Pharisees regroup and they send this lawyer, a man who knows the word, the law of God, inside and out, to pose another question. Teacher, rabbi, which is the great commandment in the law? Again, our text says, one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. He's trying to trap him. He's hoping that maybe he has come to say something different than what the word says. But that's not what Jesus has come to do. He has not come to abolish the law or the prophets. He has come instead to fulfill them. Jesus said to him the words, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. This is a direct quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus is right. And of course, he is without sin. But he continues, he says, a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. St. Mark also records this conversation, and I want to share just a part of it with you today. So the question is asked, which is the first and greatest commandment? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, that great Shema. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This is the truth. Love God with every fabric of your being, mind, body, and soul. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus has said. Now, just a couple of weeks ago, a billboard made its rounds around the internet, and it is absolutely atrocious. Now, I can't actually show you the picture because I know that it's too small for you to see, but I want to read it for you today. Keep in mind, this is the perspective. They all knew that this was the greatest commandment. Love God with everything, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Here's what the billboard says. It's a picture of a woman who is forlorn, who is distraught, and it says this. Need an abortion? California is ready to help. And as atrocious as that is in and of itself, obviously there isn't a connection here yet. However, the billboard continues. And I quote, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. Mark 12, verse 31. On billboards that happen to go up in states where abortion is now illegal, and it says paid for by Gavin Newsom for California governor 2022. Puts his own name on it. The atrocious aspect of quoting God's word, of blaspheming his word to say, hey, you know what? If you want to murder your baby, you come to California and do it. After all, Jesus says, love your neighbor. The blasphemy, the atrociousness. It is heresy to quote Jesus in this way. Love your neighbor as yourself. Is loving your neighbor as yourself murdering your neighbor? Absolutely not. It's not just Gavin Newsom. Our country has gone very far this direction. In fact, since the falling of Roe v. Wade, which was struck down not because the morality of America changed, but because it was finally understood that it was a bad piece of law, it was struck down. Now the states will decide. But here's what happens in the meantime. The House of Representatives, those who are called to represent us in these United States, voted in majority to have abortion for all 9 months for whatever reason. Not even what Roe allowed for. This is going even further. All 9 months for whatever reason, and the majority voted yes. In Illinois, a company like Planned Parenthood, who claims that abortion is only 3% of what they do, closes shops in states like Wisconsin, where abortion is now illegal, and instead what they do is they regroup, and they have now built mobile centers. They go around the border of Illinois, waiting for young women to hop over the border. They allow her to come in, have the abortion, and then send her home. This is happening all around the border of Illinois. There was a man who was trying to stand up for his son, who was being berated left and right as he was trying to pray against abortion. And as that man was defending his son, he stepped into the man fell, and the FBI came to his house and arrested him for it. All of these things are a reality in our culture. You want to know who doesn't allow for those sorts of things? A Christian culture. a Christian society. The society that you were raised in does not exist here anymore. It has to be different. We have to step up. We have to speak the truth. Jesus is fed up with their lies, with their entrapments. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You know those words. Why must we be so impassioned about this? Because Jesus is. Why must we stand up for the littlest of these? Because Jesus stands up for them. He holds them in his arms, and he loves them, and he blesses them. In California, they want you to come to their state as a form of tourism to murder your children. And they're going to quote the Bible in order to do it. Here's the fact. A man who does not believe in what the Bible says, a man who does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God, can quote Scripture all day. But you can't. Why can't you go to your place of employment and quote Scripture left and right? Because you actually believe it. Because you actually believe that God has given us His Word that He might dictate to us how we are to live. That we might find out that we are sinners in need of a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. No, you can't use Scripture in your places of business, but a man can do this on billboards because he doesn't believe a word of it. A man can twist and blaspheme God's word because he does not believe in a word of it, because if he did, he would never do such a thing. Christians have always stood up for life. Always. In our study of the Didache, a document written by early Christians in about the 1st to 2nd centuries, it has these words. It says, "You shall not murder a child by abortion or infanticide." Christians have always stood up for this because Jesus does. Jesus loves those children. Jesus cares so much about them that he said that anyone who harms a child, it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and him to be thrown into the depth of the seas. We should be just as impassioned because he is. We should love children because he does. We should love the hurting woman because he does. We should love the sinful man because he does. Jesus retorts to them. He says, "Who is the Son of Man? Who is the Messiah? It's David's son. And yet he is also David's Lord." Jesus has come and he has said, "I am he. I am the Messiah who is to come. I am the son of David, and yet I am David's Lord, because before he was, I am. Just as I am before Abraham." They could not answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. If Gavin Newsom or any of these people who have voted to murder children, who have tried to encourage other people to murder children, could hear the message, I would exactly quote Jesus' words. Because right after this, right after he shows that he is done with their tactics, he says these words. Consider these words from Matthew chapter 23. Jesus, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, fools and blind. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and that the outside of them may be clean also.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets, adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Those who are stuck in that sin, those who actively promote the murder of children and then quote the Bible to try to defend it, are living in unrepentant sin. Damnation is exactly what follows that. Repent. Not to be hypocritical. Not to be a son of hell. Not to be a brood of vipers. Jesus Christ died for your sins and for mine. You hear me say that every week because it's true. But maybe I don't spend enough time on this concept as well. You see, Jesus Christ also died for Gavin Newsom. Jesus Christ died for all those politicians who stood there and voted to allow for the murder of children through all 9 months for whatever reason. Jesus Christ died for the woman who is struggling so much with her pregnancy that she chooses to end it. He died for the woman who keeps her child, who raises her child. He died for the woman who realizes she can't do it but will not murder her child and allows another man and woman to raise her child. Jesus Christ died for the child in that womb who, fighting for his life, may not even know it. Jesus Christ died for the man who placed that woman in that situation, whether he loves her, whether he doesn't love her, whether he's going to care for her or not. Jesus Christ died for them all. But only by acknowledging that, only by repentance, can forgiveness come. Let me tell you, dear children of God, that you are on the winning side of this. I doubt that the day will come in this life that abortion will end. I doubt that. But I guarantee there is a day when it will end. When Jesus Christ returns, it will end. Because he is the avenger, he will undo every wrong. They will have to stand and give a testimony of what they've done, what they've believed. So in the end, all the atrocities will be undone. We are on the winning side because we stand with Jesus. Not because we stand with any sort of political party, because we don't, but because we stand with Jesus, the author of life, the one who knits together in each and every mother's womb. We are on his side, and he wins. He will conquer the devil. He will conquer this sinfulness. And I pray, because I know that God can work through his word. And I pray because someone will look upon that sign. And even though it was designed for belittling God, for blaspheming him, that somebody might actually open a Bible and read the greater context, read the words of Jesus, read that there was a man who loved him so much that he died for him or her, that he loved them so much that he took those sins on the cross to wash them, to heal them, to forgive them. God works good even in the midst of terrible things. This I know, and you should believe it too. Jesus Christ will return. Abortion will end, but until that time, pray. Pray, speak for those who have no voice, and love as Christ loves. The church sings, Lord, thee I love with all my heart. I pray thee ne'er from me depart, with tender mercy cheer me. Earth has no pleasure I would share, yea, heaven itself were void and bare, if thou, Lord, wert not near me. And should my heart for sorrow break, my trust in thee can nothing shake. Thou art the portion I have sought, thy precious blood my soul has bought. Lord Jesus Christ, my God and Lord, forsake me not, I trust thy word. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.